Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, scumbags. This is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts, Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
I'm trying not to be weird. It's not working. It's not working, is it? Go on, say I'm Helen Thorne.
Oh, hi, I'm Helen Thorne.
Hello.
I'm quite normal, but how are you doing, Ellen Gibson?
I'm very excited because who have we got with us, Helen, here today?
I'm gonna say it in a very calm voice. We've got Claire from Steps here.
Claire from Steps! Oh my god! Can you believe it? Even Claire from Steps can't believe it.
I can't!
She's actually here on the podcast. Claire, welcome to the Scummy Mummy podcast. It's lovely to have you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Are you feeling at all uncomfortable or intimidated?
Not at all.
Okay,
no,
good.
She's met weird fans before, Ellie.
Look, we've done over 200 episodes of this, haven't we, Helen? And
yes.
Honestly, I don't... No offence to the other guests, I don't know if I've ever been more excited. I have been a Steps fan for 25 years. And sometimes I say it to people, they're like, have they been going? It's really 25 years,
yeah,
isn't it,
Claire? Yeah, it really is. It is. Next week, actually. In fact, on Saturday, the 7th of May, 1997.
Oh, it's your silver jubilee.
I know.
What are you going to buy each other?
Nothing.
Friendship bracelets.
Matching leggings again.
Yeah, another matching outfit.
Oh, that would be fabulous. Well, congratulations. That's quite a triumph for a group that was formed. How did you guys all get together? How did Steps become?
Well, let me... No, sorry. You go, Claire. Of course I know, but no, we should probably, it's probably more interesting
it's
if you
her
tell
story,
it. Yes, you're right, fine.
Yes, it was an audition on the 7th of May, 97. There were three other people in the band before me, Faye and Lee. They were in the band for about 6 months before, but then we went to an audition at Bourne Hall in Ewell, mm-hmm. in Surrey. And yeah, that was it. Just from then on, we think we had a bit of time off because everyone was still working or at college and stuff.
Mm.
And then we spent 2 weeks rehearsing 1, 5, 6, 7, 8. Mm. 2 weeks rehearsing one long, that song.
And that's just for the rap.
Yeah, that was just... And then we went and did a showcase for Pete Waterman at Zombie or Jive Studios in... Where was it? Wilsdon Green.
Wilsdon Green.
That special place.
Mm.
And he signed us and that was it. It's history was made.
So how old were you when that was 97?
I was 19 at the audition.
Wow, yeah. Oh, so you're the same age as us. Yeah.
Yeah, I was 19 at the audition.
39.
28. It wasn't actually that long ago. Yeah. And then I was 20 when we released 5, 6, 7, 8.
Oh. So you, I mean, because I don't know, I can't speak for you, but I vaguely remember being 20. And I was just a child, really. Like this whole thing about when you're 18, you're suddenly mature enough to make sensible decisions and all that.
Yeah.
I was just an idiot at 20. So how did you, I mean, maybe you weren't. Maybe you were totally together.
I wasn't totally together, I wasn't wild at all. I was, you know, we'd go to all these amazing countries and I'd take a really good book with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have baths and see lots of the insides of lots of lovely hotel rooms. And I didn't really experience, you know, the places that we went to as I should have done, really. So I was really homesick all the time.
Mm.
So I wasn't wild at all. But I was definitely a child because I didn't do anything for myself for a long time. There was always somebody telling me what time to get up, what time I could eat, what time, you know, sending a car. I didn't have to organise anything. So I was a child in that sense. But yeah, I was a bit boring, really.
Hmm.
What? No drugs to tell off? Damn
no,
it, Ellie. We've come in here by mistake.
It was a bit of glamour in there, wasn't it? You did have a lot of celebrity moments. Because I've read your book, obviously, only 14 times. And I love it. But what I love about you, because it's very honest about your life, but also your life in steps, but also like about how like you got excited, for example, when you met Rick Astley.
Oh my God. I used to have a poster of him next to my bed. Oh, I loved him. And I was in love with a boy at school that I thought looked like him. So that was, we were at PWL. And he just came in one day because he was, obviously, the connection was PWL. But he, one of the producers we were working with, he knew him or he's working with him. And there was like a little reception bit at PWL that nobody ever sat behind, but it's where all the takeaway menus were, I remember. And H and I were kind of stood behind it punching each other like, oh, that's Rick Astley, we sat and had Chinese with him. It was amazing.
Well, I'm having my Rick Astley moment right here, right now, Claire Richards. This is an amazing day.
And can we say we're recording at your lovely home, Claire, and she brought out our favourite dip, Ellie.
Oh, cheese and chive.
She knew.
It's my favourite. It's the best.
Absolutely.
Although I was interested, we had a lovely lunch. Thank you very much. I was interested to learn. Can I share this, Claire? I can delete it if it's not okay.
Yeah.
That you can only eat tomatoes with other things.
Yeah. I do. I can't eat tomato by itself.
Why?
I don't know. I can.
Celebrities are so weird, guys.
I've always been. I would never ever eat a raw tomato growing up, ever.
Like an apple. You couldn't.
Not even if you put a tomato in a salad, I would not eat it ever.
What about ketchup?
I can eat anything tomato based. I'm fine. Ketchup.
Yeah.
Sauce, soup, puree, whatever. That's fine.
Sun dried.
But an actual no.
All right. Not so. Don't be ridiculous.
Don't embarrass
us. Out.
You're embarrassing us. Let her speak. She's talking about her tomato issue. Let her speak, Helen.
Okay.
But then I discovered if you put like a bit of cheese with it or...
Then it's acceptable.
And maybe a bit of avocado and bread, it's fine.
Is it the flavour? Is it the texture?
I think it must be the texture. It's just, yeah. Don't know. I've always had the same thing.
Exclusive.
Well, there you go. I love that you've really opened up to us.
I don't think I've ever told anyone that before. So.
And now
you're welcome.
We've told the internet. I'm looking forward to your email asking us to edit that out in about 12 hours. That'll be enjoyable.
I won't ever get any free tomatoes.
No. Done.
But I do love in your book that you talk about being a bit starstruck. Didn't you? Did you or did you not, Claire Richards, have a thing about Peter Andre?
I did.
Can you tell us about your encounter?
Oh, God. Well, this was before I was in Steps. So I was in a band before I was in Steps when I was 18, called TSD. And it was a girl band. And we did a lot of tours. So Smash Hits used to do a tour then that led up to the Poll Winners Party.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, everybody was on it. And I was in love with him. I was obsessed. Just hanging around in corridors, just waiting for him to walk past me.
Just like a guy float past.
Hi, Pete. Hi. He never noticed me. And then one day, and he obviously would never remember this, but trust me, it did happen because I was obsessed with him. But I saw him in the corridor of one of the hotels we were staying in, and he kind of pulled me to one side. And I always used to wear little crop tops and have like hipsters and stuff on. And he kissed my belly button, and that was it.
Anything so erotic?
Not ever.
Like, he probably never spoke to me ever again. Like, I didn't know. I thought we were going to get married, obviously, after that.
Mm.
And
in some cultures, that's how that works.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right.
And yeah, that was it. Didn't ask me on a date, nothing.
You were too available. You weren't mysterious enough.
No, I really wasn't.
Been a mysterious girl.
I really wasn't. I mean, I might as well have still been at school. You know when you go up to their mates and, can you give him my number? I used to do that to his brother, who was his security. Really.
And what about Celine Dion? That must have been a moment. Because you have got an amazing voice. So, yeah, to meet someone whose voice is almost as good as yours would have been quite powerful at that moment.
We first met her at the Poll Winners Party. She didn't speak to me. She spoke to Faye. She told Faye that she liked her hair. Mm-hmm. I was very
jealous. Did she have the dreadlocks at that point?
No, I think she had a little curly bob.
Well, Celine, I think we should get them all together. Astley, Andre, Dion, Richards. Let's get them all. What a dinner party that would be.
Wow. Indeed.
I'm slightly obsessed with Celine Dion. I think she just gets better and better.
Yeah.
The more older and madder she gets. And the fashion. She wore to Paris Fashion Week two years ago a pair of jeans that was one half skinny jean, one half culotte.
Amazing.
A bold move. A bold statement.
She's amazing.
Yeah. I just think she's wonderful.
I'm kind of glad that I didn't meet her. Because you know when you meet your idols,
what's that like?
You don't want them to be disappointing, do you? But
they never are. They never ever are.
I once met Sporty Spice outside a lift. You were there, weren't you?
Oh yeah.
And I was like, Ellie, should I say hello? And I did. I just went, oh, you know, and she was lovely. And I said, oh, literally, we were playing Wannabe. I was like with my kids last night, and she just said, tell your kids that Sporty Spice says hello. And I went, thank you. And like almost did a curtsy. And that was it. And it was a lovely moment. And we both knew that was it. And it was lovely. But then I came back and you're like, you're right.
That's nice, isn't it? We come to someone's house and I tell them I'm really excited to meet them. And you just sit there and tell them how you're sort of more excited to meet one of their main competitors.
Yeah. I mean,
from the same musical era.
It's not like they were more successful than us or anything.
No. So, I just said she was really nice. But she didn't give me cheese and spring onion dip. No, she did not. No. She gave me 2 minutes of her time.
Success and talent are not the same thing. She couldn't belt out Love You More like you.
No.
Babes.
Well,
what is,
let me tell you.
What's your favourite step song, Claire? Come on.
Oh God, you know what? I do like Scared of the Dark. It's one of the new ones. But
one
I
of
think,
your contemporary hits.
Yes. Mm. One of our most recent successes. One for Sorrow probably. Because that in terms of our journey, I suppose, that was the thing that was the song that changed it for us. Yeah. That's the one that made people go, oh, they're a proper group. Mm. They can actually do singing and stuff. And it's not just, you know, novelty and covers. But so, yeah, that's the one. When we do that one, the audience goes nuts and that everybody joins in and does the moves.
When you did, not this tour, but the tour before, you did Love You More, which is an album track from, I think, the first album.
Yes, first album.
Oh, my God, I wept. It was such a beautiful moment. It was for the fans.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I wept. My friends Jesse and John had to go to the bar because they were so embarrassed. We're just going to go and get you some more wine. Just shut up. But it was a beautiful number. But are there songs, let's be honest, so we sing, I say sing, we do songs in our show.
Yes.
Claire, and let's be honest, there are ones that we have to retire, aren't there, Helen? After a few years, we're just like,
no, it's
people
course.
Really like that, and that's really funny. But actually, if I sing that again, I'm going to stab myself in the eye with the microphone. But you kind of, are there songs you have to do that, to be honest, you kind of resent still doing after 25 years?
I think we go through different periods of time of feeling like that about songs, but it's really difficult to not do. I suppose 5, 6, 7, 8 was the one for a long time we avoided trying to do it. Mm. But how can you not do it?
Mm.
I love doing Tragedy because everybody just loves it.
I was going to say, you can't,
if you're
not
getting
doing
it
tragedy,
back, if you're getting that reaction back from the audience, you can't not love it, really.
Yeah, and they're waiting. They're waiting for you. It's that anticipation.
And you know, and it's just the way to make people not leave before the end of the show.
Oh, no. Yeah, hold it back.
Absolutely.
It's like a party bag at a party.
Always the encore. We talked about not having it as the encore, but we just can't. It's always got to be the last song.
Absolutely.
But the last, which tour is it? Not this one, but the last tour, we went proper hoedown on 5, 6, 7, 8.
Mm.
And I loved it. I thought it was brilliant. It was lovely. We did proper line dancing. We did, you know, we all had kind of cowboy gear on and there was saloon doors and it was brilliant. Absolutely loved it.
Now, Saloon Doors is of course a Celine Dion tribute track that she saw in London last week.
Now, sorry, Helen. Speaking of the cowboy hat, that was a bit of an Instagram hit a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
obviously it's an iconic look for you, and I think it was on the Hunsdet we talked about.
I think I was actually wearing that this jumper.
Very good. Thank you for bringing it.
Yeah.
So the cowboy hat has a special place here.
Mm. It's in the garage. I've got five kind of massive pink trunks that is just full of male costumes and merch, and one's full of old press stuff, one's full of all the VHSs that my mum recorded me on the telly. So it's all just out there, and it's in a really pot. I don't know why it's in a Selfridges hat box, but it is.
Yeah.
I've never bought a hat from Selfridges, so I don't know why or how it got in there, but that's, yeah, it's there and it's pristine. It's still lovely. Had a red one as well that I wore to the Teen Choice Awards in America once. We presented Britney Spears with an award, and I was wearing this hat that was too big for me, and it was just wobbling on my head the whole night, and I kept it on my head the whole night.
That's commitment to fashion.
Yeah. It was your look, though. It was your signature look. And, of course, can we talk about the nose wrinkle?
Oh, God.
Do you know, are you familiar with the nose wrinkle?
No. What's a nose wrinkle?
It's something I do, apparently, when I sing. Oh. My nose kind of scrunches.
Yeah.
And that's apart from singing 5, 6, 7, 8 or Tragedy at Me, that's probably the thing that most people ask me to do.
Gosh, I definitely wasn't going to do that. That would be so rude and annoying, Claire. Who are those guys? I hate those people.
Do you know what, though? I can't.
You can't do it on demand.
I don't think I realise. I must do it when I'm talking and stuff, but I don't realise I'm doing it. I think it's when I'm going for a really big note and my mouth's huge and just kind of.
Oh, my God. I wonder if Claire Richards is on the Wiki Feet. Because there's a thing called Wiki Feet, which rates people's, you know, celebrity naked feet. And Ellie is on it. Mm. And what's your rating?
I have an ongoing rivalry with TV's Cherry Healy, who's obviously a close personal friend. And she, I think, has a rating of like 4.3 currently, and mine's only 4. And I've got one vote for ugly feet.
What?
So you look rightly horrified, Claire. And we all know the first thing you're going to do when we leave is Google Claire Richards Wiki Feet.
Wiki Feet!
That's really weird.
No, people have a foot thing. That's actually come up on, what's it called? The dating apps. People saying, oh, I've got a foot thing, just to let you know.
Really?
What does that mean?
I don't know. I can't stand feet.
Does anyone ever say I've got a nose wrinkle thing? Because Claire could do very well.
I'll just use your face as my Tinder profile from now on. I'll do that.
Screw it,
I love that you've kept all your costumes, though. But the thing is, so Steps have been a massive influence. Well, on me personally, like, yeah. When I think of the heartbreaks I went through in my 20s, it was accompanied by your voice. Also, like, we all like a tight matching outfit, don't we, team? That was your look for a long time with Steps.
I mean, I tended to always go for, especially in the early days, I was always a bikini top and like baggy or hipstery trousers.
Yes, yes.
Because I hated my legs. I still hate my legs. I would never get them out. I'd never wore a skirt or that stuff. But as I've got older, there's more leggage on stage. It's kind of, you know, get them tight dance fishnets on. And
but we find with our tight matching outfits, they do start to smell. Claire, do you have people to wash yours for you?
We didn't in the early days. And in fact, my first costume for all the back in the early days, we would do all these little clubs, like we'd do under 18s club nights, and then we'd go and do, and so we'd do like 3 shows a day over the weekends doing 5, 6, 7, 8. That's what we would go into a club to do.
Yeah.
And my outfit was mesh, a red mesh top, long sleeve, and red PVC trousers.
Miasma of that, the aroma of that is,
I mean,
quite
you
strong.
Can't wash those.
No.
I mean, you can
we know
sponge
only too
them.
Well.
Yeah, I've got a pair of PVC.
She does for a TLC number that we do, and there's no washing them.
Oh,
and
no.
Even on mesh, it doesn't matter how many times you wash it, you never quite can.
No.
You just never quite. And we had to wear that for months because the record company would not buy us another outfit. I think I even wore it in
so
our first year.
So strange to hear you talk about record companies and the way they treat young stars. I mean, it sounds very out of character.
I mean, they wanted to make sure they were going to make money out of us first, I'm sure, before they decided they'd spend
wear those
money.
Sticky PVC pants and make us some money.
And did I read that you weren't making a lot of money because they were taking a lot of money and you paid like a weekly...
So in the beginning, when you sign your record deal, it's in our circumstances, it was like there were options for 3 singles and an album, but they decide. So they sign you for 1 single. If that does well, then they'll do another one and then they'll do the album. But it's all on their terms. It was in those days. And obviously 5, 6, 7, 8 did really well. Then we recorded Last Thing on My Mind, and then we did the album. But we got a small advance, but there was no... they don't have to pay you. Mm. It's because you're... all the risk is yours, I suppose. You're putting out and then hoping that it's going to do well. So we used to get £50 a week per diems.
Wow.
But we didn't know at first that we were getting them. Then one day, someone just turned up with an envelope of cash and was like, there's your per diems for the last 6 weeks. And we were like, what? Thought we were rich because we'd been given this envelope of cash, and every few weeks we would get that because it would buy our food and stuff on the road. But I still lived at home, so I was all right. Yeah. But the other guys all had to pay rent out of that.
Fuck.
Mm. Wow, yeah. You know, food. That it was tough for a long time, but, you know, luckily it was worth it.
Mm. Yeah, in the end.
In the end,
yeah. Do they still pay you in a cash envelope now?
Yeah. No, do you know what? No one ever... I'm still waiting for someone to turn up with that envelope of cash. They don't anymore.
No.
That's how it's we were paid sad. For one of our first gigs, which was a stop smoking campaign in Croydon in a rainy tent, wasn't it, Ellie?
That's right.
And they handed us £200 at the end after we did a terrible rendition of I Will Survive in front of a miserable steel drum band in the rain in front of a woman who had very few teeth. So, I mean, dreams, yeah.
We ran away and got in the car.
Did not look back and just, yeah. Counted the cash in the envelope and ran away.
Yeah, yeah. and then because Steps has sort of had two phases, hasn't it? Because there was that phase, yeah. And then it all went wrong, and you and H left. Mm. And then you got back together, yeah. And like, yeah, I've seen the TV show where you had to have the sit down chat, and everybody had to go, "Oh, I'm cross with you. Oh, I'm sorry." Yeah. Is that proper water under the bridge now?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've been together this time longer than we were the first time now.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
So yeah. We were together. We got together in 97. We beginning of 97. Then we split at the end of 2001. And we went 10 years doing nothing at all. We saw each other, and we'd kind of started to make up and be friends and stuff.
Oh right, so you had independently sort of rebuilt the relationship.
But we'd not all five of us hadn't been in the room together.
Mm.
So yeah, that was a bit awkward that first. It's weird when someone's orchestrating it, in the sense that you know, you look to the other side of us, it looked like we were having a lovely dinner, but on the other side there was like 30 people filming the whole thing, and it was awful. Mm. I remember coming away from there thinking, oh my God, what have we done? We're not going to be able to move forward from this. But it was good that we did it.
Mm.
Kind of aired all our dirty laundry, and we tend to try not to do that so much anymore because we've done it. But it was, yeah, it's all good. So we've been together since... Even though we had another fairly big gap, we've been together since 2011 now.
So how is the relationship different this time around, now that you're older and some of you got kids and things like that?
We've all got kids now. Right. It's, do you know what? I think when you've got kids, that's your priority. When we were doing it the first time round, when you're in a pop group and you're that young, you're in such a bubble, and your life is so controlled by other people that... you don't have time for anything else, and you don't think you've got time for anything else. There's no life outside of that. Even if you're in relationships and stuff, we worked so much that you could never give your full attention to any of that. But now we dip in and out, and we do it when we want to.
Mm.
And we knew we were going to do that tour at the end of the last tour, so we can plan for that. We know we're going to have a year of not doing anything to do with Steps, and then it's ended up being way longer than we expected it to be this time, but we know when we're going to be doing it. Mm. So it's kind of, and then when I come home, I'm not Claire from Steps anymore. And I think everybody's the same. Mm. And we can do, back in the day as well, we didn't really do stuff outside of the band, but now we all do. And just having that little bit of freedom to be able to do that just makes it easier, I think.
Because I know you said that in your book, that there are two... there's Claire Steps and Claire Richards, but the book's nearly 10 years ago, you wrote that, but do you find it quite easy to separate those people then?
Yeah, definitely. I have to, because I don't... Claire from Steps is a bit of a character, really, even though we're not dissimilar at all, but that this Claire wouldn't get up on that stage and wear them mad costumes, and I'm not that... I don't think I'm that showy. I'm a little bit... I'm not as extrovert as I appear to be on stage, I suppose.
Mm.
But I have to be able to separate the two, otherwise it's, the lines just get too blurred and it's difficult to be one or the other. I can't be both at the same time.
Mm. And do you find, because when we get back from tour, because you give so much, and like in our show, obviously it's about connecting with all these mums and you want to be available, and we're available on, you know, social media and all that sort of stuff. And when I get home, I don't want to talk to fucking anybody. I don't want any chat, and like I need a few days just to kind of debrag, and you know, I just want to cuddle up with my kids and you know.
Yeah, so you like, yeah, no line dancing. I don't want to see any line dancing.
No glitter. I don't want any fucking glitter.
I know we do it every night before bed, but not tonight. I need a night off.
Yeah, just want to tuck H and Lee in and then sit down and watch a bit of telly.
Yeah, we'll have a glass of my buffet. Yeah. That's it.
It's very disappointing to learn you don't all live in the same house like the Waltons. Yes.
Do you know what? It's so easy to walk in, because the second you walk in the door, they don't care.
I was playing the
O2 to 15,000 people last night. They're like, where's my PE kit? Where's this? Yeah. What, can I have that?
Mum,
I want to go meet my friends. It's those questions, and it just brings you back down immediately. So there's no way you can kind of, if I swanned around, no, darling, I can't do that. I have to iron my cape. it wouldn't get me very far.
I have to wash the mesh again.
Yeah.
The mesh is smelling.
I'm scrubbing my mesh.
But you're enjoying it. You're enjoying the sort of, I'm just middle-aged steps, let's call it that.
Yeah.
It's the middle-aged era.
I'm enjoying it way more than I did the first time round, because I've embraced it now. I'm more comfortable in my own skin than I ever have been. So I think that is a massive, massive thing to get up on stage and be able to say that I don't really care if you think I look crap in my outfit, because that would have been all that was going through my mind 25 years ago.
Mm.
I mean, I still have my moments where I, this weird thing, if I see people talking in the front row or laughing, and they're probably laughing about something completely unrelated, the first thought in my head is, oh my God, what are they saying about me? Why are they laughing at me? But I don't do it as much now as I used to, but back in the day, so all the time, and it would throw me off. It would totally throw me off, and I wouldn't be able to kind of concentrate on the rest of the show. So to be able to go up on stage and not really worry about all that stuff anymore,
because we have the opposite, where we're like, why aren't they laughing at me?
I think talking is worse than heckling. Like, if someone's just having a private conversation during a comedy set, fucking boils my piss.
Yeah,
it really pisses me off.
I'm just like, why are you watching?
Go to the fucking pub. Go and have a chat. I don't care, but just don't do it in my show.
Yeah.
Do not.
And just for the record, if you do ever see me doing that at your show, I am, as Helen will tell you, going, oh my God, I love them so much. I love them. They're so beautiful. How do they make that noise? Come out of their house. It's like angels are here. It's like angels.
Tell Claire what you actually did at the Steps concert. So we
got overexcited.
I went and got some wine, because obviously she could not miss
a second. I was high as a kite. I didn't even go to the toilet for the whole thing.
No. But so I was doing the drinks run, and I came back, and at your gig they were serving these bottles of wine that were like squished and plastic. They were flat bottles,
like
of
square
wine.
Bottles. Very odd.
Like that you could fit through a letterbox. But strange. Like a 750, like a 2D.
Was it a full bottle of wine, though?
Full 750 bottle of rosé. Very reasonably priced, obviously. And anyway, they took the lid off because, you know, they didn't want you to...
To throw it at us.
Yeah, anyway, so I got the wine back, and I was wearing like a Diamante sort of little top. And Ellie thought she'd be hilarious, and she picked up the wine and placed it in my top. But the bottle, the bottle just zoomed through and didn't have a lid on it. So the wine just went kasplush. All over everyone. And half the wine went on the floor. I was like, oh, that's great. Wonderful.
And I just laughed for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I was
so that's what I was laughing
wine.
At your
thing. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a glorious time.
Yes.
What's the tour bus like?
Well, on this last tour, it was pretty much just us, because we were meant to be in a bubble. Booze.
Excellent.
Cheese. Mm. There's generally quite a lot of cheese. Lee has a fridge full of protein shakes, which I don't go near.
No.
Yeah, and that's it. And we tend to just...
obviously no tomatoes on their
there's
own.
No, there's a separate tomato fridge.
Yeah.
One of Very the highlights glamorous. Of this tour is I made Lisa tea and toast one day, and she put it on Instagram because it was that exciting.
Rock and roll, mate.
Yeah. Toast, excellent. That's what you want. Oh, we can only dream of that then, Ellie.
Yeah.
I think that is good. But we do like staying at like a Premier Inn or a, you know, like a 3 to 4 star hotel with a bit of a spa.
Do you miss?
I don't think they stay at a premiere in. That's what I'm guessing.
No.
No. No. They didn't on this tour. And I'm a bit. I am. That, talking to you today, I've realised I'm quite weird. I keep saying things. I'm a bit funny about that. A bit funny about tomatoes. I'm funny about swimming pools.
We've all got things to be funny about.
I have to wear flip flops.
What,
not until the very edge of the pool.
Right.
I can't do bare feet
on a moist surface. She doesn't like moist.
I can't even on this kitchen floor. I have to wear socks. I can't. That noise that feet make.
Slappy.
I mean, I just can't do it. No,
yeah, listen. Okay, that's fine. We all have our things.
Everyone's got it. Helen, you can't stand any sort of sound of eating or sometimes breathing of other people.
Yes, I don't like a sniff or like a noisy eat. I do have to like move carriages in the train if someone's a bit too mouth noisy.
Yeah, I can't.
A whistly nose sends me into a bit of a spin. Yeah. I don't like a whistly nose.
What's my? I've got loads of weird stuff.
Oh, shoes on a counter.
I'm sure you'll agree. Claire, would you ever put a pair of shoes on like a dining table?
No.
Why not?
Well,
because you're not savage.
Well, new shoes you shouldn't anyway.
That's what? Bad luck.
It's exactly. Bad luck.
Yeah.
Guys are fucked.
New shoes on a table.
What?
You should never do that.
What? What's going to happen?
I don't know. The roof.
What's
going to
happen?
Something bad. You can't.
Righto.
The only reason I would put the kids' shoes on like the side is if I've polished the school shoes and I put a bit of kitchen roll, and then put them on that to dry, and then they go back.
Claire, would you come into another person's house, take off your shoes that you've just walked in the street and put them on that person's dining room table?
Absolutely not.
No, you wouldn't, Claire. That's right. Do you know why? Because you're a normal person. Thank you.
As I ate my tomato like an apple. Yeah. Putting my shoes liberally all over your table. But the things I've learned, it has been an education in the last 16 years.
The fact you had to learn not to put dirty shoes on a place where people eat is an education for
no
me.
One died, anyway. Ellie. No one died.
No, not yet. But good to hear you like cheese, obviously.
I do love
cheese.
And
that can be eaten alone.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That's fine. Yeah. Or with tomatoes. That's fine.
Yeah. But obviously, you're very into your food. You've been on MasterChef and stuff like that. And I love the bit in your book where you talk about, and you're quite specific, you talk about how H came out to you by taking you down to the beach with a few beers and a packet of Watsits.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I bet that really took the edge off.
Spanish Watsits as well.
Ooh.
It was a big bag. That was the only thing we could buy in the shop. I hate beer as well. And we did. We sat on the end of the little kind of jetty thing that was on the sand. And I was just relieved.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, because I thought he was going to tell me he fancied me.
It was the Watsits that gave him away.
I spent all night, my stomach in a massive knot, like, oh my God, H wants to talk to me. What's he going to say? Ugh, I feel sick. And that was it. And I went, oh my God, thank God for that.
Have there been any other, are there any other foods you associate with specific moments in your life? I know, didn't you still eat a lot of McDonald's when I think you said that when you were quite unhappy?
Yeah, when I wasn't, that was my diet, weirdly. But in, I think the first theatre tour we did, every single day, all I ate was a Happy Meal, and that was it, every day. I had a little cheeseburger, small fries and a small Coke, and that's all I ate every day about lunchtime. So every day we'd go into the venue and there's catering there, and in the end our tour manager was asking the caterer what I was eating, and I wasn't, so I swapped my Happy Meal for that meal every day instead.
Did you just really like the toys or?
Yeah, I did. I got a really good collection on that tour.
But you've talked a lot about weight and body image and how your own weight's changed over the years. You did an exercise DVD at one point. Yes. You're making a face. What's that face?
I spent a lot of time talking about the way I looked when I probably shouldn't have been attracting attention to myself because it just made it worse. But I went through all that. I did it all. And I spent a long time trying to remind people that that's not why I'm here. That's not why I'm kind of... I am a singer. I was a singer. Mm. And it kind of detracted a long time away from...
From your talent.
From what I actually do. And even me, I kind of forgot. I mean, I wasn't again, wasn't really particularly happy period, but it, you know, I'm all right now.
But, you know, when you know, obviously, like, Adele's way and Rebel Wilson's way has become a big thing. Is that quite triggering for you, or can you empathise with how suddenly what they're on about or their worth is about how big or small they are?
Yeah. I mean, it's really difficult to come to terms when that's all people want to talk about.
Yeah.
And for a long time, it was all people wanted to talk about.
Mm.
And I know I courted that to a certain degree, but it's when you're... Even when Steps first came back, or the five of us would be there to do an interview about the new album that we'd done or about the tour we were about to go on. And every single time, the question would be, oh, Claire, you look great, which is nice. I mean, it's lovely, but that's drawing attention to me that I don't want for a start.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what to say to that. It's like, that's really nice of you, but I actually don't want to talk about that because that's not what I'm here for. And for years, no matter what we did, it would always come back down to what I looked like. And it was always what the story ended up being about.
Mm.
And it just doesn't... I think we put so much emphasis on what people look like. It's just, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't think it's right. And I know, and it's only being both sides of it, I think, that I can kind of go, I was part of the problem when I was doing all of that kind of stuff, I think.
But it's chicken and egg, isn't it? Because you wouldn't have had the problems that you had if you weren't, you know, taught that you have to look a certain way or be a certain way. If the journalists weren't writing about your weight all the time, nobody gave a fuck. Maybe you wouldn't have given as much of a fuck.
No, I mean, from the second I started in this business, I was told to lose weight. And when you're 19 or 20, as I was, well, no, 19 with Steps, 18 with the band before, even then they put us on a diet. And I was always chunky. I always had big bum and thighs, but I've always had kind of a tiny waist, and I had much smaller boobs back then, but I wasn't big. But from the second I got into the music industry, I was told I had to lose weight. And so from the age of 18, I've thought that I don't look right. So I've always been fighting against what someone else's idea of what I should look like, if that makes sense. And it became so messed up in my head for a long, long time, because I did have an eating disorder. I was ill at one point. I was so thin. And then I went the complete opposite way, which I wholeheartedly believe that is the same problem as that.
Yeah.
It's just the other end of the scale.
Yeah.
It was like I punished myself by starving myself, and then I punished myself by eating as much as I possibly could until I felt sick. But then I didn't puke it up. I just kept it all in. So it's 100% is the same problem, but nobody ever addresses that, and nobody ever thinks about that. They look at you if you're overweight, and they just think you're fat and you're lazy, and it's your own fault. And it's not always that simple. And that's what riles me up a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. And also that thin is always healthier. And it's like, well, you don't know what they're putting in their body. You know,
no.
You can be like, the thinnest I've ever been is because I lived off cigarettes and Diet Coke.
Yeah.
That's not a particular, and I wasn't exercising. I was
thinnest,
just thin.
Yeah.
Hey, you had a difficult week last week.
That does not speak his name.
It's true, the thinnest I was when I was eating a Happy Meal every day.
Yeah.
And I remember going to Japan.
And it wasn't a very happy meal.
No, it wasn't happy at all. We went to Japan, which, like, you would think that the food opportunities out there were amazing, and every single night for my dinner I had a side plate of boiled rice and a banana for 2 weeks because that's all I could eat, and that's all I thought I could eat for the whole time we were there. It robs you of joy, doesn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's and I did, one of the things that helped prove to me that it wasn't really about what I looked like is when we did the reunion tour in 2012, I was bigger then, and I did that whole 2-hour show every single night, and it was full on. There would have been a day when I just would have done anything other than get up on that stage and be the size I was, but I did it every night. I was probably 14-16 back then, and I kept up with everybody. I did every single dance routine.
I thought you looked fucking glorious.
I did everything. So it wasn't like I was fat and unhealthy. I managed the whole thing, and I came away from that thinking, okay, it's not, I can do it, and it's not about how thin I am. So, and even then, I think I got bigger after that and lost weight again. So it's, you know, it's a journey, and it still is.
Yeah.
It's a battle every day, but...
But yeah, like, I'm just thinking of someone who's maybe going through what you went through when you were little, Claire Steps, and having all that, all those issues with diet and stuff like that. What is there anything you would say to that person now? Do you know what I mean? Or do you think you were just so deep in it, kind of nothing could have pulled you out of it?
No, I think I was so deep in it. It was really, because I've always been a bit frightened of authority. So I just did what I was told. When I was at school, I was a good girl. I did what I was told. If ever I did anything wrong, I always got caught. So I kept that. And to me, management and record company were that authority. So I, you know, they told me to lose weight, so I did. And then that plants the seed in your brain that, okay, I'm not as thin as the other two. The boys always look better than me. And it's that. But now I realise we're not all the same. It doesn't matter how thin or fat I am. My shape and size is never going to be the same as Faye's, ever. It's never going to be the same as Lisa's. But back then, I didn't understand that. And I think when you're young, you have to discover all of that for yourself. Otherwise, it's never going to be ingrained in you. You'll always, resent people for trying to tell you what to do or trying to tell you how you should be. You can listen to advice and take it on, but I'm not sure I would have done.
And also, really. I think, Instagram is the best and worst of people, but there are so many fantastic positive body positive accounts and people celebrating, you know, even if you look at the pop stars who are out there now, there's so much more diversity of shape and size that people don't feel like they have to sit in this or be a particular size anymore. I think there's, you know, really amazing kind of role models, and I love that. You know, my daughter's 13 and she, you know, her heroes aren't all size six, and she's not, she's quite confident in her body, which I don't think I was at that stage. And I think that the way we talk about bodies, and I think mothers and fathers are much more kind of conscious about not saying, oh god, I'm fat, let's all go on a diet again. I think there's been a massive kind of shift, because I'm very conscious of not saying fat and, you know, and poking at my imperfections, and I think my children would like me to wear more clothes, to be honest.
Wouldn't we all?
I think my son definitely would on tour. He's just like shakes his head and puts his head in his hand all the time.
Yeah, I've got a few outfits sometimes, you know, when I'm going out on, you know, Friday night, so to speak, and my daughter was like, that's too short. I was like, mummy's wearing it anyway.
Yeah.
Off I go.
Let's make it shorter.
Covers my tits, what are you talking about? Oh, well, now, I know you mentioned the Smash Hits Poll Winners Party earlier, Claire. Are you familiar with this, Helen? This is a great British
institution. Educate me once again, Ellie Gibson.
Well, would you like to explain it, Claire?
So, in the 90s, there was a magazine called Smash Hits.
Yes, I am aware. Yes, yeah.
And every year, there was a Poll Winners Party because they would have a poll. Funnily enough,
yes,
in the magazine, and the people would vote. I don't know how they used to
fill
vote.
It out with, but I did it in biro. You fill it out with biro and cut it out of the magazine and then send it off.
Yes.
Then everything would get totted up, and it was an award ceremony basically for the teens, I suppose. I guess it was like the Brits, but for kids.
And it was broadcast on Sunday afternoons, and it was like Christmas Day for like pop stars, for pop fans. Like you would all sit down at 3 o'clock, like it was a Queen's speech. And watch it. I remember watching it at university, like religiously, like every year, and it was brilliant. And all these famous pop stars would be on there. So what I've done is, Claire, I've invented a game. I've ripped off another game. We're going to play Snog, Marry, Avoid.
Oh god.
Don't want dry mouth.
I don't want a dry mouth.
Don't want a dry mouth when you're talking about snogging or marrying. Marrying?
Marrying.
Right. Marrying. Marrying.
I'm going to set the scene. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Set the scene. Imagine, Claire Richards, that it's 1998. You're at the height of your powers. I mean, you're not actually, because you're doing very well now, but you're at one of the heights of your powers.
Okay.
It's the Smash Hits Poll Winners Party. It's being held in an underground bunker, just for fun. It was a different time. They used to film Games Master in power stations. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, very trendy in the 90s to do that sort of thing. Unfortunately, someone accidentally sets off a load of nuclear bombs.
Oh, no.
And the rest of the world... Oh, no, that's a response to global apocalypse.
Oh, no. Never mind.
The rest of the world is obliterated.
Okay.
Of the pop stars left in the bunker, I'm going to give you a list. Who are we going to snog to cheer ourselves up? Who are we going to marry in a bid to rebuild human civilization, and who are we going to push out of the door of the bunker to die of radiation poisoning? Oh, right. No. Claire.
Okay.
Are you right to go first?
Yeah.
Here's your trio. They're standing in front of you, Claire. Okay. You've got to make a choice.
Right.
Shag, marry, push out the bunker. Rick Astley. Oh,
yeah.
Peter Andre. And Dame Bowers.
Oh, God. Okay.
Now, do you know why we don't Dame Bowers in that?
Helen. We don't need to talk about
it. We don't need to talk about Dame Bowers. Okay, we don't have to talk about it, but read Claire's book.
Oh, I just thought because he was a terrible singer who did the duet with Posh. No?
He's a good singer, actually.
Mm. Okay.
Are you out of your mind?
Okay. So, Dane would have to be out the door.
Dane's out.
I'm afraid.
He's been obliterated by the nuclear fallout.
Because you've got a history with Bowers. So Bowers is out. Bowers is dying in a nuclear wasteland. Yeah. You're happy with that?
Yeah.
Fine. Okay. Great. So you've got Astley and Andre. Astley and Andre. Who for the marrying, who for the sexing?
I think... Oh, you said Snog.
You said Snog.
So it would have to be Peter for the snog.
Peter for the snog. You're hoping for mouth rather than just navel.
Yeah. Just move his face up. Yeah.
This way.
Yeah.
And then I'd marry Rick because he was technically my first love.
I think he'd be a good person to rebuild humanity with, actually. Mm.
Yeah.
I reckon he'd be a very generous lover.
He would keep trying, wouldn't he? Never give up.
No, he would never give up. He's just done a song with New Kids on the Block.
It's amazing.
It's so good.
He owns his cheesiness, which I think is very admirable.
Don't we all?
Don't we all?
He can own Claire's cheesiness.
With a tomato.
Right, so Astley and Andre are in the bunker.
Right.
Bowers is out. Thorn. Mm-hmm. I've done you an Australian edition.
Oh, hello. Not just Andre.
Jason Donovan.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Guy Pearce.
Oh.
Who was he in Neighbours? Was he Mike?
Mike.
He was Mike in Neighbours. Yeah. Or Stefan Dennis.
Oh, Ellie, this is terrible. Terrible, terrible times. I think I'd definitely snog Guy Pearce.
Mm, okay.
And definitely marry JD. He was my first love. I had many, many pictures of him on my bedroom wall. I had 150 pictures of like Kylie and Jason.
Wow.
And then I would push Stefan Dennis out of the bunker. Do you know why?
Why?
Every year. Do you know why? Because we share a birthday. Right. And every year we...
Fascinating fact.
What are the chances, Ellie?
1 in 365, exactly right. Steve, I would say.
Every year we tag him going, oh, it's Stefan Dennis's birthday. And we tag him and he's never replied.
Rude. I have personally tweeted him several years in a row. I tweeted him personally to ask if he would make a little video for Helen because they share a birthday. You know, kind of as a joke. I didn't really expect him to reply. But then, like, last year he did an Instagram video, didn't he, going, can everyone stop asking me for birthday videos? It's really annoying.
It doesn't make him feel good, Ellie.
Wow.
It doesn't make him feel good.
It does not make him
feel good. So Dennis out.
Dennis out.
Yeah. Dennis and Bowers.
I've got another trio for you, Claire. You ready?
Oh, God.
So, Astley. Astley's dead. You've got to marry again. Yeah, he felt, because he's such a good man, he felt bad for Dane Bowers and he went out to try and rescue him.
Okay.
Bowers, I'm just riffing that.
But doing
Bowers
very well.
Killed him and ate him. It's apocalypse.
Yeah,
it's apocalypse.
Okay.
Can you not imagine Dane Bowers doing that? She's thinking about it.
I've not seen him for a long time.
Right. Here's your next trio, and your final trio. Don't worry, it'll be over soon. Barlow, Gary, not Deirdre. Gary Barlow, Seal, very big in the 90s.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Or Chesney Hawkes.
Oh,
Ches.
Chesa.
What a sweetie.
Oh, I know Chesney.
Oh.
I did a little show thing with him a while ago.
But Claire, would he be your one and only in the event of a nuclear apocalypse?
I am. Oh, God, I loved that. Mm. That film... And that song is... Sorry, the Cats.
No, it's all right.
Very much.
As I was saying earlier, I'm not a massive fan of Cats, but they seem to pick up on that.
It's like I'm not even here. It's like I'm fucking invisible. Nobody wants me.
That's fine.
Aww.
That's fine.
I would... Gary. I would marry him.
She's going to marry Gary.
Gary.
Yeah.
Well, that's a tough one between the other. I guess I've never really been into Seal. at all. So I guess he'd have to go out.
Sorry, seals outside. And sorry, Heidi Klum.
With Bowers feasting off Astley's remains, seals yeah. out there.
But it would be really weird snogging Chesney Hawkes, because I know he's like nice, he's lovely, and I maybe when I was 12 I would have, but
yeah.
So that's a difficult one for me. Maybe it just has to be a peck on the cheek.
Well, in a nuclear situation, Claire, beggars can't be choosers.
That's true. That's but then if I marry Gary Barlow, I'm not going to be looking at anyone else.
Oh, Barlow likes to watch.
Oh, no.
Don't know if he does. No. If his lawyers are listening, I've just literally made that up. So I couldn't think of another Australian trio. So instead, I've just gone for the most 90s-tastic trio I could think of.
Yeah.
Helen. Lionel Richie.
Oh, yes. All night long. Yeah.
All night long. Have you on the ceiling. Writing on the ceiling.
Oh dear.
Lionel Richie, Mr. C from The Shaman.
Sorry, that's outrageous.
It is a good.
And
yes,
you've got to take both of them, PJ and Duncan.
Two for one,
as they were known at that time.
Oh.
So snog, marry, avoid. Snog, marry, push out the bunker.
I reckon I'd like a double snog with PJ and Duncan.
Oh, three-way.
Yeah. But not married to two men. One is enough.
Yeah,
one is even too much. I think I'd push out the Shaman.
Yeah, Mr. C.
Mr. C. No, sorry. It was off the time. And then, of course, I would marry
Lionel Richie.
I think
that's
he'd be
a good...
Yeah. I think he'd be a very...
He's lovely.
A very considerate lover.
He's a lovely
But also,
man.
Get up and make you a cup of tea.
Which is what you want in the event of a nuclear apocalypse.
Yeah,
you want someone who can go down and you make your cuppa.
Oh,
that's right.
That's a lovely thought. Yeah. All right, good.
Well, what
excellent
can I say?
Game, Ellie.
Thank you, Claire, for being such a good sport and putting up with our childish nonsense.
It was excellently researched, Ellie. Thank you very much.
It was excellent. So what's next for Claire Richards? What's the next plan?
Do you know what? It's all step stuff this year, mostly. I think because it's our 25th, so we're just doing shows, and we've got a couple of things coming up in the summer that haven't been announced yet.
Ooh.
It's a bit exciting. It's just another, probably at least till the end of September, it's all step stuff.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
So, and then we'll see what happens after that. Hopefully there'll be more me stuff. But
awesome.
Fantastic. Yeah. Have we got to do, I'm too starstruck, Helen, you do the admin, I can't speak.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Oh, we haven't done Scummy Mummy Confessions, Ellie.
Oh, of course we haven't. Sorry.
But we can do some admin after that. Should we do the Scummy Mummy Confessions?
Yes. I'm so excited. That's the first time in 220 episodes I forgot to do the Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Outrageous.
Which is the linchpin of the podcast.
Amazing.
So that's good.
Excellent.
That's
work.
Good.
Have you got a Scummy Mummy Confession, Ellie? Do you want to kick off?
I have got a Scummy Mummy Confession. So I just came back from holiday. We spent the weekend away at a youth hostel, which had an outdoor toilet. Mm-hmm. That was problematic, but we survived.
I think that's good for the poos, though, when you're sharing. Then you not got the waft of poo close to the bedroom.
That's true.
Yeah,
look on the bright side.
I always do.
Always.
Always.
Every clown has still got one.
So we stayed at this youth hostel and it was great fun. It was, you know, six grown up, six kids, lots of running around. And then one night, everyone else had gone to bed and it was just me and my husband by the campfire. Mm. And we'd had some wine, we'd had some Whispering Angel. And I was feeling frisky. I was in the mood.
And he's like, daytime.
Well, we can't do it in, because we're literally sleeping in prison style cells. He's like, we can't go in there. The kids are in there. And, you know, and I was like, no, but look, just that. And it, like, this youth hostel is at the top of a little sort of a little hill, and halfway down the hill, but quite a way away from the things, is a little wooden throne. A lovely throne that someone has made out of a tree trunk.
Oh, so you want to have a bone on the throne?
Come on then, let's have a So, and we were like, come on then. And I made him sit on the throne. And then we used to have a joke in our show about taking one leg out of the pyjamas.
Yes.
It was quite cold. So I took my shoe off.
You mocked me, Ellie Gibson, when I said, just take one leg out of the pyjama and then, like, do it up that way and then put it back on.
Yeah, but in bed, you know, it's not... This was out until it was 2 in the morning.
Oh, so there's rules now. Okay.
If it's cold, it's legitimate. So I took one leg of my jeans.
Your jeans, lovely.
You know... clambered on.
Oh, very nice.
And we had a go, but it was quite tricky because obviously tree trunks are round and I couldn't get a good footing, couldn't get any leverage.
Footing, right.
It's all a bit, but we were giving it a go. And then he was getting into it, so he undid my puffy mountain coat.
Oh, hello.
And he tried to get me boobs out, but I wouldn't take the coat off because, again, I didn't want to be cold. So he sort of lifted up my jumper and he's trying to pull the boobs out from under the sweater.
Wow.
I lost my footing, but it
but you had a go.
We had a go.
Excellent.
And the next day we did tell the other grown-ups around the ashes of the campfire what had happened. One of them was like, oh, I could never sit
on that.
No, of course,
no, you've ruined it forever.
No, my balls have touched.
You're going to burn it down.
So, we gave it a go.
Yeah.
Helen, do you have a scummy confession for us?
I've similar, not sex-based, but so I live in a wooden house, Claire from Steps, and it's not very soundproof. And I had a gentleman caller on Saturday night, and he went round to the loo and just did the loudest fart and then came back into the bedroom. I said, you know, the good thing about these wooden houses is they're incredibly soundproof. And he went, ah. But then throughout the night, he kept going back to the loos, and the farts got louder and louder. So I don't know if he
would. Oh, God.
But and they got quite tuneful towards the end.
So,
that was the fart. I won't talk about the sexy bit. But we did have a point where we bumped heads, and he actually was fingering me at the same time. And
apparently, oh, my God.
And then he said, I have to take my fingers out because when you laugh, it, like, you know, contorts and squeezes on my fingers.
You trapped his hand in there. Did he have to walk around like that? Did you go to Sainsbury's? He was just trapped there.
Like a Chinese finger lock.
Oh, no, I need to fart. What am I going to do?
Really lovely times.
Claire, you look unwell.
It was a sex confession.
You don't have to share a sexy confession.
No, fair enough.
Let's not talk about sex, Claire Richards, as the Salt and Pepper song goes.
Oh, God, I can't think of anything. Pressure.
Any costume, wardrobe malfunctions?
Oh, do you know what happened to me the other day? I was getting ready for War of the Worlds into my costume. And normally, I've got quite a few base layers. Not as many as in a Steps costume. And I have to... There's, like, lots of wees that happen before the costume goes on because it otherwise... wet myself obviously on stage, which has never happened, thankfully.
Yeah.
And I was getting dressed, and I always have a dressing gown on, and I put my spanky things on, and then I put my tights on, and then I have another pair that goes over the top. And somebody came in, I think it was our caterer, who I'm friends with, I've known him for years, and I was standing there chatting away to him, and my dressing gown was tucked in the back of my tights. And I wasn't facing him. He came in to give me something, and
he got an eyeful.
He just saw my ass, basically. And only afterwards I realised that I'd tucked my dressing gown in my tights. So it wasn't even attractive, kind of.
Not in a sexy
view.
Way.
No, it was just, like, it was just really gross. Yeah. And didn't speak to him again after that because I was so embarrassed. I didn't pull my dressing gown out of my knickers.
Oh, well, what a lovely story. Oh, truly, they say never meet your heroes. It's been wonderful, Claire. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Thank you for 25 years of music, Claire Richards.
You're welcome. Mm.
What we do for the 50th?
Oh, Christ. No, I'll be long gone by then.
Hang on, the capes and the cowboy hat. Yeah,
I would definitely
then.
Be done by then.
Yeah.
It'd be like 5, 6, what is it again? 7, 7, 8.
I'm already struggling. Lyrics.
Right, we're on tour. We are going up and down the country. We've got some very exciting gigs in Cambridge, the Sausage and Cider Festival, obviously in June.
Obviously.
But the big announcement is, of course, Edinburgh 2022.
Yes.
10 massive Edinburgh. Dates.
Yes, the 18th to the 27th. you just do it.
I'll do it. We're going to be at the Underbelly in August, so tickets are available now to purchase. And also, we're very excited because we've got our Christmas show coming up, so check scummymummies.com for dates. We don't have a link tree. We need a link tree.
Get a link tree, mate.
My book is still available, Get Divorced, Be Happy, and I'm running the marathon, so please sponsor me for that. I've been doing a whole lot of running about.
Tickets from scummymummies.com.
Absolutely.
Anything you want to plug, Claire?
Steps are on tour this summer. Come to any of our shows.
They are
doing
the
Mighty
best band
on the 3rd of June.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And Birmingham Pride on the 25th of September.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
And then lots of others in between.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, lovely. Well, thanks again, Claire Richards. It's been an actual honour. And now we can... Now we never have to do the podcast again, Thorne, because I've achieved my lifelong goal.
Exactly right, Ellie. I'm
so glad. It's taken to get next
9 years. Long years.
Thank God. So thanks for listening for all those years. This is the end.
You've like completed the video game.
Sorry, or
you've got
welcome.
The presents.
Or maybe I'll try and collect them all. I'm gonna look up H's phone number in her phone when she goes to the toilet. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
I've got one more for you, Claire. I've got one more.
Oh dear.
Is that all right? This is the final one.
Oh god.
This might be the toughest one yet.
Okay.
Mark Owen.
Well, little Mark Owen. Little Mark Owen.
He's not Irish.
Little Mark Owen.
Oh, to be sure.
Oh, to be sure. Little Mark.
Little Mark Owen.
He's a lovely one.
From the Take That.
The lovely boy from the Take That. We like him.
Do you want to do an accent for this one, Helen?
Oh, yeah.
Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake. I can't do accents.
Don't worry, pussycat.
Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake from Coonawarra.
Oh, sorry.
Justin Timberlake.
My mouth just won't do accents.
Sorry. So Mark Owen, Justin Timberlake, or Lee Latchford Evans.
Oh, no. Oh, that's not fair.
No.
That's the game.
Okay. Right. So, one stage I think I fancied Mark Owen, but not for a very long time.
Mm. Was it the Irish accent that did
Maybe.
It for you?
Maybe.
He's been so well over the years.
It's when he turned Irish. I kind of thought that.
Because there used to be an apostrophe. It was Mark O. Irish name.
Owen. Oh God, this pains because I love Take That. It's going to have to be Mark Owen.
Owen's out the bunker. He's out the bunker, yeah. Forming a new community with Seal, Ashley and Bowers, who will be king, probably, at Bowers, I would guess. Anyway, carry on.
And then I think I would probably snog Justin Timberlake, and I would keep him very close by, and marry Lee.
That's nice.
Because I wouldn't have to snog him if I'm married to him, right?
I mean, you've been in his company for 25 years, so you know you can stand
marriage anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we've survived this long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I would marry him and push the rest of you out of the bunker. Just be me.
Have a lovely time.
Rebuilding humanity for all of eternity. And I might forget to take my coil out. Just the two of us. Oh, Lee, could not love you more.
Oh. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.